Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, Mama, this is a good day to be at the PRF table. Today we are going to be talking about the generation of financially sound believers. The generation of financially sound believers. And for those of you who don't know the voice, this is one of the hosts of the PRF table, Dr. Nate Dunlap. And also we have sitting here Marianne Williams, who we also know around the table as Mama. Mama, good evening to you, and please feel free to greet the people.
Good evening to you also, and good evening to my PRF family. It is so good that we're all here together one more time. Thank God for the opportunity for us to learn. And with that being said, turn it back over to Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap, Jr.
Amen, amen. So listen, we have been, for this month of July 2017, we have been dealing with some different topics. You know, we don't do anything that's normal to what man says, but it's normal to God. And so with the first show for this month in July, we talked about the bondage of child support. The second show we had was on July the 13th. It was financially uneducated young people. Last week, we talked about helping others become financially free. And on tonight, July 27th, we're talking about the generation of financially sound believers. Now, if you've been with us, you understand that this is coming from the series Freedom, Family, and Finances. What's at the core of what we've been talking about every week, what we will talk about today, what's at the core, Mama, is family. There's a lot of people out there trying to get free from things and financially free, but if it's not connected to family, who are you trying to get free for? A lot of people want to be debt-free, right? A lot of people want to have a bunch of money. A lot of people are working to make all this money and to pay bills and not doing a good job at it, quite frankly. But they want relief.
Yes.
But if the relief that God allows you to have is not connected to family, then what's the purpose? So that's why we're talking about freedom, family, and finances here on the PRF table. Let's go ahead and get right into what we're talking about with this topic. Now here's the deal. If you're listening online, we love our online listeners. We appreciate those who are listening to our Facebook page, PRF Ministry on Facebook. Or those listening on Blog Talk Radio, just look us up on Blog Talk at PRF Table. But if you want to get into the conversation, if you want your voice to be heard, if you want a question asked, if you have just a comment, we just ask you to call the number 347-215-7934. Somebody will see you light up on the switchboard and we'll bring you into this conversation. Because as we say here at the PRF Table, everybody has a seat at the table. This is not for preachers. This is not for teachers. This is not for people who have been walking with Christ for such a very long time. This is not for broke folks. This is not just for them. This is for folks who have money as well. This table is set for everybody because that's how God does it. He sets the table before anybody who's willing to take a seat. And so with that, let's get into tonight's show.
Okay.
The generation of financially sound believers. Here's what God has shown me in my studying preparation for today. Only God's chosen generation will be equipped. I know y'all was waiting for something deep, but it's real simple. Only God's chosen generation will be equipped. Be equipped how? Financially sound. I want us to take a look at a couple of questions And we would love to hear your feedback, whether you do it online or do it by calling in tonight. The first question is, what does it mean to be financially sound? And the second question is, who will be financially sound? So if we start off, Mama, and we take that first question, what does it mean to be financially sound? You have some people that have never known themselves, their families, their parents to ever have been financially sound.
Yes.
So for those individuals who've never seen an example of what it looks like to be financially sound, what do they strive for? With the second question, who will be financially sound? I'm going to just tell you up front, and we may only have a 30-minute show today, but that's it. I'm fine with that. But who will be financially sound? Those who are going to institute and implement the principles of God that has already been laid out of how we're supposed to be operating, Mama, especially as believers. That's it. This stuff is not rocket science. How to implement, how to get there may be to some folks. But God has made it at least so clear to me and so clear to some of us here at the PRF Institute that, listen, if you want to be financially sound, just do it God's way. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Dr. Dunlap, listen, I don't see the roadmap for being financially sound in the Bible. True. There is no clear roadmap because everybody's not starting at the same destination at the same time. Which, Mama, what I believe is that's why it makes it a little bit difficult for churches to deal with this collectively. Because when my good pastor friends get a bug and say, you know, we're going to teach on tithing, you got to realize that you got folks in your congregation that all have different understandings and different thinking. So you got this good revelation and you say, we're going to teach on tithing because God showed me what Malachi 3 is really all about. And you think that just because you put it out there that everybody has grabbed a hold to it. But let me tell you, with the amount of people that we deal with here at PRF and the number of people I deal with personally in my capacity, it's a whole bunch of folk not getting it, Mama. I'm just telling you, it's a whole bunch of folk that are not getting it. So how are we going to deal with this thing of being financially sound? And again, I said financially sound as believers, because if believers are not sound, why I want to come to your broke church with all y'all broke? But here's the reality. A lot of folks don't come and don't participate in church activities because they already know the condition of the people before they even get there. So if I know the condition of the people before I even get there, why would I want to come and be a part of you for you to ask me to be a part of your community when your community is doing bad? When your community of faith is not financially sound. Now, you got to understand, when we say financially sound, we're not talking about everybody being rich, everybody being wealthy in the numerical sense. But when we as believers are financially sound, there will be less things that don't get taken care of within the body of Christ. Please catch that. I didn't say about your church. I think we talked about that a little bit last week, because so many folks think that so many things are supposed to go on in their little circle, in their little bubble, but God ain't never said that my responsibility to you is to make sure that everything you have in your house, for your house, is inside of your house.
Yes.
I give you just the best example that just came to me that lets most of us know that what we need in our house is not in our house. And I'll preface it by saying, your first place of ministry is your household, right, Mama?
Yes.
Okay, so if your first place of ministry is your household, but then you don't even have everything inside of your house, what in the world makes you think everything's going to be inside your church house?
That's correct. That's good.
When something breaks in my house, I call America Home Shield. Because God has not equipped everybody who lives within my household or at least one person within the household to be a plumber, to be an electrician, to be a cook. let's be real with this thing. So we have to start. I'm telling you what the Spirit of God has placed upon me, that God desires the generation of believers that he needs to do certain things to be financially sound. And God ain't choosing everybody to be a part of that generation, Mama. I'm telling you. How do I know that has not chosen everybody to be a part of that generation? Because there's never been a whole generation that never had folks in it that's messy.
Yes.
That veer off for the left, to the left, or to the right. That don't quite get it and got to kind of be left behind. So. I want to call our attention to 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. I want to venture to say that when God takes any of us from financial bondage, then we've gone from a place of darkness into the light. We've gone to a place,
yes,
a place of darkness into the light. Once we recognize it, once we recognize, hear this, that the light that guided us from the darkness into the light was the light.
That's good.
Capital
That's
L. So you got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know that you're special. Special to God. You got to know that collectively as a body of believers, that we're holy. You got to believe that he's raised us up. He's called us from that darkness into this marvelous light of being a believer, to have that name attached to your given name on this earth. You've been chosen. So my thing is, look, if you believe that, you got to believe that first and foremost. And if you believe that that's you and that's part of who you are, you're a part of that, then you got to understand that the next phase for you is about being financially sound. Because there's some things that need to happen within the body of Christ, and if you don't hear what I'm saying today and haven't been listening to me over the last several months, almost a year now, the time to get some of your stuff in order, the time to fix up some of the crap that has been messed up, is not going to be the time when all mess hits the fan. I'm so tired of seeing y'all post a whole bunch of fussing now. I'm so tired, righteous indignation. I'm so tired of seeing so much of y'all fussing about the president. Whatever. God let him be there. Ain't Jack you going to do? He ain't looking at your Facebook post. Ain't nobody in the White House looking at your Facebook post unless you put a threat out there against them. The people in Congress and the Senate ain't looking at your Facebook post, and they're not looking at your Twitter post. Talking to the common folk right now. So why not just move and understand that we are in this place right now for a purpose? And I'm telling you, one of the purposes that of why we're in this place where we are right now in history is to get ourselves into a financially sound position. Because as today is July 27th, Mama, when some things come down, when some things hit the fan, who you gonna run to? And I believe that there's plenty of examples in the Bible where God has been silent to his people, where he's shut up communication with the people. And so if you think that you have God on speed dial, like a genie in a bottle, where all you got to do is say, oh, you know what, man, I did not pay attention when God was trying to speak to me before. So now, I'm in bad jujus. I'm in trouble right now. Lord, I need you. No. I'm telling you, there's going to be some things that's coming down that you ain't going to be able to go to God and think. And, well, you can go to God anytime you want. But just believe that as the Bible is true, don't be surprised when you don't get a response from God because you didn't want to put yourself in position now. So a generation of financially sound. You got anything, Mama? I'm.
Well, when you were just saying that, don't be surprised if God does not answer. And I'm thinking about the seasons, all of us have different seasons in our lives. You know, I can be in winter, someone else can be in the spring, but the bottom line is that God has a timing for everyone for different seasons, and so we do not operate within our season, then we have missed out whatever God was trying to say to us, whatever blessings that we were going to receive within that season. And for an example, we're 60 and above here, and a lot of the much older, people here would say, I just don't like heat. I just don't like the heat, and I just be so glad when it's over. So therefore, it's the same thing for us. We can be in a situation and we just, oh my gosh, just be glad when it's over. We're just so anxious. And sometimes we get so anxious until we move out of our season. So whatever that we were to endure within that season, which would equip us, strengthen us for whatever God has for us, because remember, we are born for his purpose. And as you had said before, each one of us are individuals. So therefore, God knows what each one of us need. He knows what season he needs. And here, as you were speaking, and I've heard you say it before, we need to get our house in order because some things are beginning to happen. And it seemed like, as you were saying, the focus is on what the president is doing.
Or Congress, or the Senate.
Or the Senate, or the government is doing, or what they're going to do, what they're not going to do. But our focus needs to be, I believe, on being attentive, being content where we are, and wanting to hear the voice of the Lord, and so we can get direction and how to operate within our season. So when
That's
we
right.
move to the next season, we'll be equipped.
That's right. That's right. And I'm going to tell you something, Mama. Don't nobody have time for a bunch of foolishness right now, except fools. A fool got plenty of time to be foolish. Plenty of time. But God needs us to step up in this season to do what we need to do so that we can do the things that's needed to be done once we come out of this season.
Yes.
So, being financially sound, that's where we are, the generation of financially sound believers. Now, listen, if you looked on Facebook or you looked on the Blog Talk site, you would have seen that our flyer for today or the image that we posted, it has a picture of 12 somewhat stick figures. And I put 12 out there for a reason because of this text that we're going to be using tonight. It's going to come from out of Numbers chapter 13, and we may get into 14. I have no idea, but if you know anything about what was going on in Numbers 13, there was 12 spies that were sent to scope out the land of Canaan. The Israelites had been released by Pharaoh from Egypt, and they spent 39 years, 10 months, around 3 days in the wilderness. And while they were there, Moses, their leader, said, I need 12 folks, 12 of you, to go and scope out the land. Scope out this place that God is sending us to. So let's stop right there. If this thing is really about being financially sound, you have to have something that you're looking forward to. Therein becomes one of the problems, Mama. As I said at the beginning of the show, if you have no idea what it looks like to be financially sound, what are you looking for? Well, watch this. A lot of people think that being financially sound is being able to have the capacity to borrow money. But can I share something with you? That is farthest from the truth. Being able to have the ability to borrow money doesn't make you financially sound. What makes you financially sound is knowing how to utilize that credit when you borrow money and being able to have a plan on how to pay it back.
Yes.
So these 12 spies, they go out, and two of them are Joshua and Caleb. And I'm not going to run down the whole story. It's in your text. You can go and look at it. But one of the things that's very, very interesting is they went out as 12. They even brought back samples because Moses said, bring back samples of the land. And so the Bible records, just read it. I promise you it's there. That they brought back grapes that was so large that it took at least two of them to hold them. Now, I don't know about you, Mama, but if I ever went went to Pathmark or Piggly Wiggly or Winn-Dixie or ShopRite or whatever the supermarket is in your area, if I ever visited one of them as we travel all around this country teaching, and I see a grape that's even as big as a grapefruit, that's probably a grape that I'm not going to buy. Because it doesn't look normal.
Right.
But they brought these back. It was the season was right for them, and they brought these back. Now, here's the thing. The 12 that went out was the 12 that also came back. One of the things that happened with the 12 was they brought back the samples. Now, again, this is not getting in your car driving up 95 from Philly to New York. You're talking about walking, not putting it in your trunk of your car. You're talking about walking, not taking a snapshot of it on your iPhone and emailing or texting it to somebody. They had to bring these things physically back to be able to show. Now, watch this. The question that you may ask of the text is this. What was necessary? Why was it necessary for them to bring back samples of the land? I'm going to say, Mama, the reason they had to bring back samples of the land is because there's some people that was back there that had not gone out like the 12 spies that needed to see some proof. So if we're talking about a generation of financially sound believers. And remember, one of the questions that I asked or that I put out there was, you're going to be challenged tonight with finding which generation you belong to. Now, the 12 went out. They saw giants in the land. They saw those who were bigger than them according to their physical eyes. And then when they came back, there were some that said, most of them that said, we can't defeat that enemy. Well, listen, if you really believe what we're talking about today, that there is a need in the kingdom for a generation of financially sound believers, if you believe that, then you have to also have enough faith to believe that the things that you may have to encounter are not too big for God.
Good.
All all of these believers, all of them had who had been through this, they traveled from out of Egypt into the wilderness, and God has been taking care of them all the way up to chapter 13, 14. They know the place where God is sending them to them, but there's something in the way in their eyesight. If you want to be financially sound, if you believe that you're supposed to be a part of that generation that's financially sound, then you got to be just like Joshua and Caleb. Now you got to understand, being financially sound, getting to that place is not an overnight situation, Mama.
That's good.
See, I know
that's
a lot
right.
of people think that we're just coming giving. No, I'm not going to tell you it's going to be okay. I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be easy. Put the dog on work in, and then you tell me how you overcame. I'm not your cheerleader. You got enough of them in churches already. I'm not the one. God ain't called me for that. But do you know how they were out there, Mama, for 40 days?
Yes.
They explore. It's something, this thing about 40 that is so common, is a common thread within the Bible.
Yes.
Jesus was in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness. They went scouting for 40 years. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 years. It's so much. But listen, when they come back, they came back to the leaders. Now, herein becomes one, again, we're talking about the generation of financially sound believers. If you don't have a Moses that's sending anybody out to find out what is it going to take to get to being financially sound, then where are you getting your help from? God doesn't give everything to everybody. He gives what he wants to who he decides. In this case, he gave it to Moses. He had Moses to send those 12 out. Let's talk about church. I hear churches talking, and pastors and my good friends, I hear them talking about 100% tithing church. Can we get 100% with life insurance? Come on, bro. Seriously? Can we get 100% to have a will? Can we just get 80? Can we just raise the 57% to 31 to 44%? Can we just raise that to 55 and 60%? But when Moses sent them out, Mama, he didn't send them out to do anything that was unattainable. God had their back.
Yes.
So I experience and we deal with so many things here at PRF, with churches being broken, churches shutting down, and churches closing, and all of this foolishness. Who is being equipped to find out what needs to be done? How do the people need to be helped? Can we give it some time, or are you only going to allow PRF 1 hour when y'all barely can keep the lights on? But you only want to give me 1 hour. You only want to give our facilitators 1 hour. Or you as an individual only want to spend 2 hours that fit around your schedule. That's not kingdom. All right, I've already put it out there. What type of generation are you going to be in, or which type of generation are you headed to? So when they come back, going back to Joshua and Caleb, going back to Numbers 13, when they come back, Mama,
yeah,
they show them the fruit that they took from the land. They reported to Moses that they explored it. It was bountiful. It was the land flowing with milk and honey. The fruit of the land was producing. Then they said, But the people living there were powerful. Where they live is too large and fortified. See, that's the issue right there. Hold on, we got to get across that. We got to get across that threshold if you're going to be that generation of financially sound believers. One of the things that is hurting so many people is that they're focusing their attention on Donald Trump and the government. The reality is,
I ain't heard nothing that indicates or even suggests believer coming out of his mouth or from his persona or his speech, nor his actions. So I'm really not going to be following one who I don't see no fruit coming from, nor am I going to be wasting a lot of my time on somebody who is clearly unfruitful to the kingdom of God. Whatever else is going on, I need you, God wants you, and I need you to be able to identify, you know, what's going on. You need to be able to see, what generation are you in? Are you in a generation that ain't going to never be financially sound? Are you headed towards that generation that is not going to be financially sound, if they continue going the same direction? Or are you going to move towards your heart's desire to be a part of the generation of financially sound believers? So going back to chapter 13.
Yes.
So Caleb was the one, Mama, who was trying to quiet the people. See, now listen, when you talk about a generation, you're not talking about one or two folks. There's no generation, Y, X, millennial, there's no generation that has been coined with the name. That only has three or four folks in it, Mama. That ain't a generation. That's a group.
Right. Yes.
So here comes Caleb. There has to be somebody within your group that understands that we can do this. There has to be somebody in your group that says, you know what? From this day forward, we're not going to have anybody in this church that's going to have less than a 600 credit score. There's not going to be anybody in this church that doesn't know how to look at their credit report. There's not going to be anybody in this church. There's not going to be anybody in this church that's going to file for bankruptcy with only $5,000 worth of debt. Mama, it brought me almost to freaking tears when I read this today or yesterday, whenever it was, a couple days ago. Filing bankruptcy for $5,000? And your church bringing in $100,000 a month? Are you serious? What generation you belong to? So here we have Caleb again, who says, we can tackle this. Mama, you would be surprised how much more busier for the kingdom we would be. There was just one Caleb in every church. If there was one Caleb in every church that said, we're not going to have financially ignorant folks in this church. We're going to have nothing but financially sound believers. And remember what I said at the top of the hour, that is not saying that everybody has everything. The financially sound believers look like, This is an example of what financially sound believers look like, that generation of them. Mama, you make $10,000. Brother such and such makes $15,000. Somebody else makes $100,000. But all us able to eat. All us are able to eat. Can I tell you something about the drug scene? Let's talk about the generation of drug dealers. Growing up in Philly, let me tell you. One of the things that the cats around me used to say, look, man, if I'm eating, everybody eating. That means if I'm pushing this weight, that's a certain amount of illegal drugs for those of you who don't know the lingo. If I'm pushing a certain amount of weight and you down with me, then you're going to eat too. Why the heck does the body of Christ not have that same type of mentality?
Yeah.
More than what some of the churches that I'm aware of have. But by and large, that's not the same mentality. And some of it has to do with people suffering in silence. We understand that. But look, you can't be nobody suffering in silence trying to be a part of a financially sound generation. It's not going to work, because all you're going to do is spoil that generation. So let's keep going. The Caleb that decide, you know what? We deserve better. the Calebs in your individual households. You, man, as a husband, as a father, you be the Caleb in your household. Say, you know what? Mm-mm. We're not going to go through being broke, busted, and disgusted no more. But watch this. What that means is that everybody's not going to be down with you. See, again, Caleb had to stand up. Caleb had to speak with an audible to say, we could conquer this. Let's go take these jokers out right now. Have that. My thing is, let's have that same mentality. I'm going to go check my credit report right now. I'm going to check all three of my credit reports right now. I'm going to contact PRF so they can come in here and they can teach us about the five principles of giving according to the Word of God. Because evidently, if folks ain't giving this, somebody ain't learned something, or there's something else going on. So we're going to call PRF and say, can y'all come and do an assessment and give us an understanding, put the mirror in front of us so we can see where the heck we at. Because Amen. If you don't know where you're at, then how are you going to know where you're going?
Amen.
So now you got to understand, to be a part of this generation of financially sound believers, looking at Numbers chapter 13 as an example, when Caleb stood up, the other cats there, mama, the other guys, they disagreed with him. We can't do this.
Yeah.
They bigger than us. And then what they did was they poisoned the rest of them. They poisoned the rest of the people in the land, mama.
Yes.
Oh, no. Listen, y'all. Listen, if we go back to that place, man, them jokers going to eat us alive. Everything we saw was gigantic. And see, some people, because of their credit situations, mama, in particular, they see their credit situations as being gigantic. But I'm here to tell you that if you just have that desire to be a part of that generation of financially sound believers and you take the next step by connecting with other folks that say, yeah, you're like us, mama, for example.
Yes.
You know how many times I tell folks when I'm looking at their credit reports and looking at how folks that have filed for bankruptcy? I've seen worse. Everybody gets that from me. I've seen worse. Because I've seen some bad ones, mama. I've looked at pages, credit reports that have been lots of pages. And it's been a good little while. It's been about 2 years, since probably last year when I've seen some 19-page credit reports. So mostly everybody else I'm reaching and deal with, I've seen worse.
Yeah.
This is not that bad. I'm not trying to be a cheerleader, but if you can't see it, then God has just equipped us to be able to see it for you. Now, you have to want to be a part of that generation. You have to want to be around and connected with people to say, okay, let's do this.
Yes.
Let's do this next. PRF is a teaching ministry. That's what we do. I'm not your cheerleader. We're not your cheerleader. We're not your cheerleader. We will help you, but you need to be the biggest cheerleader. We will help you along the way. But just being a cheerleader for somebody that ain't doing a doggone thing is nothing.
Yes.
So you got the people that just, they couldn't see it, mama. Couldn't
No.
see it. Could not see it. And I tell you, when you go over to chapter 14, you had Moses as the leader who was interceding for the people because they felt that they were better off back in bondage.
Yes.
You done seen the big old grapefruit-sized grapes. And you in the wilderness. But you'd rather go back to Egypt. Okay? I got you.
Yes.
I understand it. I understand that's just where some people are.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, everybody is not going into the promised land. just like everybody did not go into the promised land, did not enter into the promised land, Mama, let me just be perfectly clear with all of you. All of y'all are not going to be a part of this generation of financially sound believers. One of the things that Moses said was, the people who explored the land for 40 days,
yes,
y'all must wander in the wilderness for 40 years. You must wander in the wilderness 40 years. A year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sins. Then you will discover what it's like for me to have an enemy. I, the Lord, have spoken. If you don't trust God for your finances, why is that not sin? Why is it not sin? Sin is anything that displeases God, right? But why is it not? Why would you not think that that's not sin? Sin is anything that is displeasing to God. So if you are not trusting God for your finances as a community, as a generation, then you're relying on what?
Self.
The ten spies, Mama, that went out to explore the land with Joshua and Caleb, and came back and just poisoned the people.
Yes.
The Bible records that they were struck dead with a plague before the Lord. Check it out in verse 37. Yeah. And the only people, the only two of the 12 who went out there to look at the land, Mama, was Joshua and Caleb. That's it. It was Joshua and Caleb. The only two. So here's the reality. God has set some things up through PRF and through others to help a generation of people to become financially sound believers. You can be like the 10, to be messy, to be doubtful, to encourage others, nah, that stuff don't work, to go against what God is trying to do, to be rebellious against the Spirit of God, of what the Spirit of God is putting forth. You can do that if you choose. But I'm here to tell you, you're not going to be a part of that generation of financially sound believers. It's not going to happen. And we do know, Mama, according to the text, we do know that one of the things that the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, see, you got to understand order. Everything ain't coming to you, those of you who are listening, those of you who may not be in certain leadership positions, everything ain't coming to you. With this right here, the Lord spoke it to Moses and Aaron. And he said, how long must I put up with these wicked people, with this wicked community and its complaints? Whole bunch of folk complaining about their financial situation. God is at the point now, I'm just giving you what he's giving me, that he is tired of your complaints. You think that you are praying, asking God, but you complaining. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Okay? What do you have? Are you thanking God for what you have and then say, you know what, God, I really could use an extra $2,500 a year? Are you only complaining that you only make $22,000 a year? You see the difference?
Yes.
God heard him. It ain't that God ain't hearing you, because that's what God told Moses and Aaron. I heard him. And then when God spoke, oh, my goodness. He says, tell him this. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things that you say. You will all drop dead in the wilderness because you've complained against me. Every one of you who is 20 years of age and older and was included in the registration of the Israelites as they came from Egypt, every one of you 20 years of age and older will die. What did God tell them, Mama? You're not going to enter into the land that I swore to give your ancestors. You're not going to occupy the land. The only exceptions will be Caleb and Joshua. Now, here's something else that, because I just need to make sure that you understand, those of you who are listening, the seriousness of this. God didn't stop there. He said, no, you need to tell them this too. You and your children are going to be carried off as plunder. Woo. What? What? Carried off? What does that mean? You want to be back in bondage? No problem. You and your children, no problem. Then he says, I'm going to bring them safely into the land. They're going to enjoy what you have despised. So you got to understand this generation thing. All y'all 20 and up, y'all a whole different generation based upon your age. But you got kids. So I'm not going to allow the kids to come in because y'all acting a fool. Remember, he said, remember what he said. He said, I'm going to allow your children to be carried off as plunder. Watch this. What does it mean to plunder something? To plunder means to take something from somebody or to take people, to steal them. Like in a wartime situation. And do we not know the rest of the story, Mama, that the children of Israel were taken away into Babylonian captivity? Were they in captivity? Were they taken? So your children will get into that place of land of milk and honey, but they still going to be taken. Hold up, something is not right with that pit, with that situation. That doesn't seem right to me. It doesn't even sound right to me. Hold on. You're going to let them get into the land of milk and honey, but then you're going to also tell them in the same sentence that those same children that's going to get into the promised land are going to be carried off, going to be stolen, taken away as goods? Yeah, because, see, now they don't really understand what they may not understand what's being said because you're in the land of milk and honey. See, that's when you got to be careful. Hold on now. We're in the land of milk and honey. Nothing happened to us. No, no, no. They are suffering the sins of the parents. See, God didn't put the same punishment on them. He didn't put the same punishment on them for them to die in the wilderness. He allowed them to be able to experience some of the land of milk and honey. But yet, somewhere down the line, he's telling them, yep, they're going to be taken away. So, listen, it only makes sense that we prepare ourselves. We become this generation, or we, those of us who are already in this generation of financially sound believers, to connect with others within the generation. But, doggone, it's so hard sometimes, Mama.
Yeah.
Find other folks that's financially sound. I ain't talking about folks that got money. You can keep your money. Some folks have money in so much bondage, ain't even funny. Talk about financially sound. Where we're able to do things for the kingdom. Where when somebody comes and they need some help, we can help our brothers and our sisters. I'm about to be done. But the part that really messed me up, Mama, was when God said, "You're gonna drop dead in the wilderness."
Yes.
And this is to that generation that's not getting into the promised land. You're going to drop dead in the wilderness. You know what that says to me about today? Some of y'all ain't going to never have nothing. Some of y'all are just going to be broke for the rest of your life until you die. Some of you are never going to be able to get insurance. to leave an inheritance for your children's children. Some of y'all just going to be in that same old condition because you just ain't learned the lesson of getting it together. Can we not learn the lesson of our Israelite brothers from the book of Numbers, Mama?
Yes.
I've heard it. Y'all have heard it. I've said it. That God is the same today as he was yesterday, and he is as he is tomorrow. Matter of fact, there is no time with God. So in all actuality, everything that's happening right now is already happening in the eyes of God, because he already knows what's already happening before we even know.
Amen.
Because he's infinite.
Yes.
Don't even try to say it again, but I hope you got it. Play it back if you're listening to the archive. So God already knows. If you're in the wilderness, it's not too late. I promise you it's not too late. But you got to make up your mind. Do I want to be a part of a generation of financially sound believers, or do I want to still continue to follow some folk that ain't going nowhere? And here's what I know about those 10 that were struck dead in the wilderness for how they were preventing people. You gotta understand the depth of that, Mama.
Yes.
They blocked people from receiving the land of milk and honey, the place that God had been promising to them and their ancestors for years, for generations. They put up roadblocks, stumbling blocks in front of their brother. Don't Galatians talk about that, putting a stumbling block in front of our brother? They put a stumbling block in front of our brothers because they weren't spiritually mature enough to discern. Hold on now, why the heck should I listen to you talk about what can't be done when I'm seeing some proof of what's there? And we up here, we ain't eating big grapes in the wilderness. Doggone,
yes.
If you was even smart, you at least say, well, you know what? I may be scared to go in the promised land, in the land of Canaan. I may be scared because of the giants, but the same way they got them big grapes, let's go get some more. They just sit on the outskirts. Ain't even smart enough to do that. They like, oh, no, we going to just stay out here in the wilderness. No, let's go back to Egypt and be in bondage. No.
Yes.
Mm-mm. There are some pastors. There's some pastors that have blocked PRF. God sees that. And you're not putting up any roadblocks against PRF. You put up a roadblock between God and your people. Excuse me, God and his people. You ain't your folks. God and his people. But because they follow you, they never receive what God has for them. Been in this, doing this too long, Mama, for there to be so many within the body of Christ still doing and still going through some of the same things over and over and over again. Been doing it too long. But here's my plea. We can't do it by ourselves here at PRF, and nor do we try.
Yes, that's right.
Pastors, I'm here to tell you, I'm about to go silent for a little while, but I'm going to say it while I'm speaking right now. If you don't open up the door, whatever God does to you, don't cry and complain about it later. Whatever God does to your ministry, don't cry and complain about it later. Enough said on that, Mama.
Yeah.
Enough said on that. This thing is too serious. This thing is too serious. It's too serious. So the question, I go back to the question again, Mama. It's not rocket science. Are you going to just take a look in the mirror? And are you going to determine which generation you belong to? Are you going to belong to a generation of those like Joshua and Caleb? Are you going to be part of the generation of those 10? Remember, it was Joshua and Caleb that was above the age of 20. So God killed off a whole generation, more than one generation of folks. A whole generation. God said, y'all got to die here. Here in the wilderness is where y'all going to die. Those folks died because of following jokers that didn't have their best interests at heart, Mama.
Yes, yes.
And they were tribal leaders. So I say it like I've said it before. Listen, if you don't want PRF, if you don't think this is the right thing for you, no problem. Just make sure you're communicating with God. And make sure,
yes,
God is telling you that this is not the right thing.
Yes.
That this is not the right ministry to connect with that ministry. I ain't going to say your ministry. That's part of the problem. We can't never do anything in your ministry because it's yours. Because mine said it's yours. I don't care that you founded it. I don't own PRF. Yeah, God gave it to me. Yeah, okay. And whatever. I got a couple titles. And? PRF is nothing without the people that make this thing work. It ain't me. I got a small piece in this whole thing. I got a small piece. Oh my goodness, Mama.
You know,
I'm done. Go ahead, Mama. I'm done.
Okay, I was thinking about when you were talking about what generation we're going to be in, and I'm thinking about this lady. Back home, she had, now she didn't finish, she finished high school and that was it, and she had three children. And she was, you know, her vocabulary wasn't that accurate. But she worked around people that spoke, that had good vocabulary. And she was telling me, because she was talking, and to me, I knew she had her bachelor's. At the least, that's how. But because of her, the way she spoke and the words that, you know, the large words that she used and everything. And so we were talking. And we were talking about education. And I told her, I said you should go ahead and get your master's. And she said to me, she says, I don't even have my bachelor's. And I told her, I said, but you have such a, I said, you talk like you're so highly educated. And she says, no. She said, but what I determined to do, and this is a generation that she wanted her children to be in. She said, all I do is determine that when I heard them use a word that I did not understand, I was going to go home and look it up, and I was going to start using that word. And her children, and it was just amazing, because her children, even the youngest children, had such a wide vocabulary of words. And see, now she was determined that her children would speak correct English, because she wanted them to be educated, you know, going ahead to get a higher level of education than she had herself, and which they all did. They all did. And so I'm saying that to say that this, her children is going to be in the educated generation. They're going to go further than she went. And she led them. She, you know, didn't go to school. She didn't try to go to college. She didn't think. She wanted them to be able to speak correct English.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same thing here, that you're asking what generation financially – generation do we want to be in? You know? Do we want to be? I mean, she could have the attitude, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? You know, the teacher's going to teach them. But she took the lead because of what she wanted for her children. And you can see the fruit of her labor. And it's the same thing here with us here and all of the family that's listening. Is that we also have to choose what generation do I want to be in. So that means we have to make a decision. And you can imagine that was a lot of work. She'd write down every word she heard and go down and look and then try to herself use the same vocabulary as she spoke. That's a lot of work. But in the end, it was worth it. See, so there is a reward at the end. I think that all of us are at different levels, as you know, but we can start where we are right now, and we can make a choice to say, okay, I'm looking in the mirror, and I know that now that I've heard everything that I've heard that's been taught on the, I can do this. And we have to encourage ourselves, and we have to be around people that will also encourage us, because, see, she was around people, whomever she was working for, that was using the big words, see? So she took advantage of that opportunity, so we here have the same choice. We can take advantage of the opportunity that we have, the knowledge that we're gaining here, the openness that we do not understand. We can Facebook, we can text and ask for help and things of that nature. So we can make a choice. We can do this. Oh, yes, we can do this. It doesn't matter about the giants in the land. No.
Mm-hmm.
They should be like grasshoppers to us, you know?
But here's the thing. Everybody can't defeat the grasshoppers.
Okay.
Everybody's job is not to defeat the. Everybody's not a warrior. That's why we're talking about generation, Mama. A generation of financially sound believers. And so the question the one of the major questions that you who are listening must ask yourself is, what generation are you in right now? That's the question that you need to ask. So I want you to ask that question within your family. And write this down. Within your family, in my family, are we a generation or part of a generation of financially sound believers? I could tell you the answer is going to be no for a whole bunch of folk. If I had to do a survey, I guarantee you that you're going to be able to say, And even if that's not all the way true, perception also is reality. So you ask yourself that question about is my household financially sound? If the answer to that question that no, my household is financially sound, there ain't no way in the world I'm going to help the church be financially sound. Because how in the world is God going to tell you to neglect your first ministry, which is your household, to give to that of another? I said neglect.
That's good.
Ask yourself, what type of generation are you in? Because we're all in some type of generation. Are you in a generation of bad credit? Oh yeah, you can be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and still have bad credit. Trust me, I know too many pastors that have it like that. So don't let's not even go there. As somebody tried to do a little bit earlier, this thing ain't about just because you're a believer. No, we still got to live on this earth until Jesus returns. The other thing is, and I want to piggyback off something you said. I don't, and again, we this is what we do on the PRF table. I don't even see where it's about you making a choice about what generation you're going to be in.
Okay.
If we take what happened with in Numbers 13, they didn't choose that generation. God chose them.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes.
You don't get to choose your generation. Nobody get to choose to be in generation X or Y. You don't have no control over when you're born.
That's true.
But what I do have a choice of, watch this. They didn't have a choice of being that generation that God said, God put it in place that this generation is going into the promised land. God said that. Nobody else had anything to do with it. But they had a generation. They had a choice to enter into the promised land. That's the choice, Mama.
Okay.
You got a choice whether you're going to enter into the promised land, because if you're in that generation, you're in that generation. We need you to identify That's yourself, true. Though. I need to know where y'all at.
Yes.
If I know that some of these things that we've been teaching are important to you, then we can help and do better, greater things. I can send somebody. If I knew you were in Albany and I knew this was – if I knew that credit was important to the leadership of your church and to the people of your church and y'all were working on that, oh, yeah. Then what about some folks in Albany that don't have it like that, that's not doing what you're doing at your church? Then watch this. If we are a generation of financially sound believers, if we're in that fold, then I could talk to you over at such and such church and say, listen, go to such and such church. These cats over here, these sisters and brothers over there, oh, yeah, you dealing with the, listen, they're teaching, they're talking about credit, they're bringing PRF in, whatever, however it happens. But if you sit there, a part of a group of folk that they never going to address these issues that you know you're dealing with, don't expect. You may be part of the generation, but you ain't going to never expect to go in. Mm. You ain't going to never, you can't have no expectation of raising your credit score from a 450 to a 500 if you don't put in the work. So those things become your choice.
Yes.
They become your decision. There has to be a community awareness about where are the financially sound believers. And there has to be the Joshua and Caleb to lead the generation, to lead them. I'm cool being one of very few that do what we do, Mom. I don't know nobody else that does what we do at PRF. I don't know nobody else. I just don't. And those pastoral leaders that have invited us around the country to do and to serve the people that God has entrusted them with, they get it. They understand it. And they, as I said earlier, they are not going to be the hindrance to what God is trying to do in those people's lives.
Yes.
So we just need some, listen, I'm just telling you, some of y'all, some of my brothers and my sisters that wear the tabs, that wear the collars like I, it may be in your best interest to go ahead and pull down the barriers to PRF. In this season, because God is not playing. God don't reveal what he reveals to me just for me to be talking out the side of my neck. Everything that he reveals to me for a purpose. We've been talking about the generation of financially sound believers here on the PRF table. I pray that you are listening, and not only that you are listening, but that you will take the necessary actions to figure out where you are. Ask God, where am I? I didn't really get into this tonight, but the other question that we posed online today was, through our flyer, was this. What generation are you following? Right?
No.
Yeah. What generation are you following? Matter of fact, let me say it like this. What generation are you destined to become? See, I want to believe that those Israelites that left out of Egypt never knew they were on their way to the promised land. Right? They left Egypt. Then they got to this point where Pharaoh was on their tail, and then God opened up the Red Sea. They got through that. They had so many different instances where God has shown himself mighty. And I guarantee you, Mama, not in a million years would they have thought in their mind that they were going to have to hear God tell them through their leader. Y'all joker's going to die right here. You don't even get the pleasure. You don't even get the pleasure of going Oh my goodness, Mama, listen. God Almighty, they didn't even get the pleasure of going back into bondage.
Oh my goodness. Wow, that's good.
They didn't even get the pleasure of going back in bondage. At least we'd be able to eat. We would know where we're staying. We'd have fixed places back here and back there in Egypt. God didn't even give them a way out for that. Nope, y'all just going to die right here. He wouldn't even pollute Egypt with them. He would not even pollute Egypt with them who had been polluted by other leaders. Because remember, it was those 10 leaders who poisoned the people.
Yeah.
So Joshua, where are you? Caleb, where are you? The people need you. They need you to stand up in adversity. Let me tell you, there's some leaders in some churches. And again, Mom, we've been doing this for a long time. Seems like 20 years to me, but there's some leaders in some churches that's like, man, we know we really need this. We know we really need this, Dr. Unlap. And here's what I keep telling them. You ain't going to go no further than your leader.
No,
everything
true.
Has order.
Yeah.
And I've watched churches, Mama, that have had leaders that have had God's heart, that have seen the benefit of what we have been offering to the people. But the one who has the title, the position, the head honcho, if you will, couldn't see it and didn't trust their other leaders enough. And then to sit there and continue to watch those same group of people continue to go through some of the same things over and over and over is disgusting, and it's an abomination before God. We could probably fit that in somewhere in Luke 19, in Leviticus 19, Mama.
Yes.
We could fit that in somewhere.
Oh,
maybe that's a
yes.
lost one.
Yes.
I'm done.
Yes, yes.
I'm done. Mama, I'm done for real. I'm done. Listen, we will be in a couple of weeks. We will be, as way of announcement, in Havoc Grace Merlin at Agape Church. Pastor Vince and Yvonne Austin are the pastors there, and they have allowed us to come and to bless the people with our next legacy conference. If you're in the Merlin area, all I'm going to do is just encourage you. Registration is open. You can catch the registration at prfministry.org. You can also find us on Facebook. PRF Teaching Ministry is how you can find us, and it's all over Facebook, so you'll be able to see an event that is listed there. And I'm just encouraging folks, get your registration in by next week. Get your registration in by Friday, August the 4th, for us to come to these places to provide food and all the resources that we provide here at PRF. We must be prepared for you. It is limited to 50 people. So we just pray that you be a Joshua right now, those of you who are listening. You be a Caleb right now. Start plastering the invite, the event, on your social media, because people need to get their houses in order. And we're going to go strong with our legacy conferences through the rest of the year, and Mama God has already told me what we need to deal with next year. But if you don't deal with what God needs you to deal with right now, what we will be dealing with next year, Mama, it won't even matter. It won't even matter. So we are dealing with that generation of financially sound believers from this point on. That's what God just gave me. This is who we're dealing with. If you want to stay in the wilderness, God bless you. We love you. You can listen to our radio broadcast. Come on, talk to us every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the PRF table. But if you want and desire more, if you recognize who you are, if you recognize whose you are, if you understand the generation that you belong to, let's do it. And guess what? With what God has already ordained for us to deal with next year, that means there has to be some preparation this year.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you, what God has already ordained for us to be teaching this year, we may not make it back to where you're at. So don't miss wherever God sends us, especially when you're close by. And if there's some place that we are not, then be the Joshua and the Caleb and get us up there. Because I promise you, the ones who recognize that they have been called by God into a generation of financially sound believers, when we come out of this season that we're in, I guarantee you, Mama, nobody's going to be talking about a Trump. Nobody's going to be talking about a Senate. Nobody's going to be talking about a Congress. Those are not going to be the generation of financially sound believers' concerns. Because just like God put it to those individuals who were putting up roadblocks to the people, they're going to die where they're at. They're going to die with some of their little self-proclaimed power, their self-induced churches. Let me go. Mama, I love you. I love y'all. I'm done. If I don't go right now, I'm probably going to go somewhere else, and it's not going to be pretty. So, you got to realize sometimes when God ain't ready to release certain things. So I had to pull myself back because that's something else that's coming. So you know,
hold your mule.
Right now, I'm holding my mule, Mama. I'm holding my mule. Next week we come off with a August. We'll be in August. Come next Thursday. So we'll be in a new series. But if God so has me to stay right here, then you know this is where we'll be. So we're thankful for all of you who have been listening on tonight. We thank you for all those who will be listening later on in the future. Let's work together, y'all. Let's get our houses in order and understand that in this series that we've been focusing on, freedom, family, and finances, the number one thing that's important to God is the family. With that, we love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you on next week. Peace.